God is good. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. We serve a big God. We serve a God who is not dead, but a God who is alive, who hears, who moves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all take a moment. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's just take a moment. Let's just pray before we get into the word. Hallelujah. I know during worship, the presence of the Lord was so strong. You're welcome. I didn't run around the room because that's what I wanted to do. I don't know if you can see me back there, Lila, but I was just like, "Ooh, I want to run. I want to run." It was just so strong. Let's just take a moment because I know God has a plan. I know he has a plan. I know there's something he wants to do today. I thought Donnie might go on and speak my message for me, and Linda got right on in there. And, you know, the word that I was getting while I was worshiping was the word that Sharon brought forth, provision. The Lord kept saying, I have made provision. Whatever you've come today with, whatever need you have brought to my house today, I am here to meet that need. There is no burden. There is no yoke that I can't be broken. There is no chain keeping you bound that I cannot break. I am here. My presence is here. I am here to move. And so I believe he is still here to move. He's not gone anywhere. He's still right here. I don't know what your need is. I know that people have come today with a strong need, with something that needs to be broken. I don't know what it is. I just know you've brought it. And I know God is here to break it today. If you need that breakthrough, that moment of relief where it's broken off and relief comes and you begin to advance again, he's here to meet that need today. So let's just take a moment and let's just begin to pray, because it's not about what I'm going to preach or what I'm going to say. I'm not really that good, and I know that. I'm just very willing and honored to get to do it. It's about him. And so it's him you need to hear from. It's his word you need to hear. You don't have to have prayer for God to move. You can just stay right in your seat where you're at, and you can say, Lord, I need this done. And he can do it, praise the Lord. He can do it. Not that I don't want to pray with people. There's nothing I like better than praying with people. So let's just turn to him for a moment and let's just see what he's got planned. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you right now. Lord, we turn our minds back to you, Holy Spirit, to what you'd have done in this moment, oh God, to what you'd have spoken to your people, Lord, for what you'd have done, Lord God, for them and to them today, Lord Jesus, for every chain, everything that has set itself in our lives against you, Father, everything that has been set up against you, Father, we come against it right now in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and we command chains to fall, oh God. Lord, we command strongholds to be broken, Lord Jesus. We command every burden and every weight, oh God, to be broken off your people today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to come and have your way, oh God. Lord, through the ministering of the word, because your word is life. Your word is life, Lord Jesus. Your word is life, oh God. And Lord, we just ask you to come and move to speak, oh God. Have your way, your will, your purpose, oh God. And we just praise your holy name. Lord, we give you praise for it. We give you praise for it. We thank you, Father, for your presence in this house. We thank you that where your spirit is, there is freedom. Where your spirit is, there is freedom. And I love that, Jesus, because you live. Your spirit lives inside of me. So that means I have freedom. Your children have freedom. We simply have to take hold of it, oh God, and believe it is ours because your spirit lives in us. And we just praise you. We just glorify you this morning, Jesus. Oh, we just glorify you. Let's give the Lord a big old praise offering this morning. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus! Oh, Jesus, you are on the throne, and we praise your holy name. Oh, hallelujah, praise your name. Oh, glory to your name. God is good. You may be seated. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak to you today about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does so many different things. He's got such a huge role. There are so many things Holy Spirit does in our life. So today I'm just going to talk to you about two. Relax, just two. We're not going to try to hit them all today. We're going to go to just two things. But first I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you were the tail and not the head? Have you ever felt like you were just jerked around by your emotions, by others, or by consequences or situations that you just had no control over, and you just felt like there was this tug of war going on and you were just being pulled from one direction to the other? You know, the Lord knows all about that, and the children of Israel came up against that all the time. All the time. And they were called to be the head. They weren't called to be the tail. Mike, I'm going to switch it up on you. I'm sorry. You should be very familiar with this because Pastor Bruce does it. I know it. Okay, so if you go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're going to read verses 13 and 14 first. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 13 and 14. Everybody there, are we good? Okay, it says, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I commanded you this day to the right or the left, or go after other gods and serve them." Praise the Lord. This verse comes after a whole bunch of verses about how God is going to bless his people, how he's promised to bless his people. He's promised to bless your coming and your going, your rising and your laying down. He has promised to bless your fields, your vineyards, whatever you put your hand to. He's made all of these promises that come to us, his children, but it's hinged on this one sentence. Oh, there we go. "You shall not turn aside from any of the words which I have commanded you." That's basically saying you shall not live in sin. But sometimes, even though we know we're supposed to be the head and not the tail, we kind of live like the tail. We're just pulled around. We just follow. You know the difference between the head and the tail? The head is supposed to lead, not the tail. The head is supposed to make the decisions, not the tail. The head goes first. The head receives first, not the tail. And it says that you will be above and not below. How many of you have ever just felt like you were just tromped on by the enemy? Just tromped on by the enemy. And maybe the enemy used people to just walk all over you. But you felt tromped on when we're called to be above and not below. We're called to be the head and not the tail. This has been in the Bible forever. It's not a new verse. It's always been there. This is clear back in the Torah, clear back in Deuteronomy. This is really super old. And yet, how often do we find ourselves at the opposite end of the body, at the tail? The Lord doesn't want us to be the tail. He's called us to be the head. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The head leads. It's not led around. The head makes decisions. The head knows where it's going. The head has the plan. And sometimes it just feels like we're not the head, like we're not the one that's leading, but we're being pulled around. And you know, when we follow the Holy Spirit, he is faithful where he leads us. He knows exactly where he's taking us. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid of where he's leading us. We don't have to be afraid of where it's going. We don't have to be afraid when any situation arises in our life. We have to remember that these things are below us and we're above. We have to remember that we're the head and Jesus is the head of us. And if we're in connection with his head and our heads are together, we know that we're going to listen to his voice and not be pulled around this way and that way. And I'll be walked on. You know, one time in my experience in Mexico, we were going through a situation, and my husband told me, he says, "You know, you can't just say no. You know the outcome. You know what they're going to do. You can simply tell them no. And I said, you're right, I can. I said, but Holy Spirit is leading me to give the opportunity. What they do with it, that's on them. I'm not doing anything by my will or my decision. I'm doing it because Holy Spirit says to do it. And if I'm doing it because Holy Spirit says to do it, nobody can use me. It's not about them using me. It's about Holy Spirit directing me and guiding me. It's not about what other people can do for me or to me. It's about me being obedient to the Holy Spirit and Him taking care of me in it. Praise the Lord. Okay, so today I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. The first thing I want to talk to you, we're going to talk about two specific things the Holy Spirit does. The first thing, the Holy Spirit sanctifies the believer. Sanctified means to be set apart and to be declared holy, to consecrate holy for a higher purpose. So when we get saved, when Holy Spirit comes into us, He instantly, through His power, regenerates our spirit and makes it brand new and makes us sanctified in Him, separated out of the world, taken out of the world, made new in our spirit, sanctified, justified, cleaned up, made holy for a purpose. That is power. Woo! That is power. From wherever you came from, no matter where it was, you found Jesus. He picked you out of that. He sanctified you unto Him for a greater purpose, to be called holy for Him. Woo! That's power. Doesn't matter what we've done. Doesn't matter where we came from, praise the Lord. It matters that we believe what He's done. Sanctification is wonderful, but if we don't believe it, it's not going to do us any good. He calls us sanctified, but if we don't believe we're sanctified, then it's not going to serve us a purpose. If God gives us a key, and this key is to power in our lives, but we never put the key in the lock, it never opens the door. We have to believe in what He's done. It has to get down deep inside of us, deep down, penetrate through our heart, through our doubts, through our minds, and penetrate into our soul and become a truth in us. Otherwise, it just lays powerless on the surface of our lives. We know it's there because the Word says it's there, but you know, it's not. I'm truly not sanctified. I feel I'm a, what is it they say? I'm a hot mess. How can I be sanctified? I'm always the tail. How can I be sanctified? I'm always underneath the foot of somebody or underneath something going on. How can I be above? How is this sanctification? I think we haven't got a hold of it yet. It hasn't gone deep down into us to the place where it's something you believe, you believe, you believe, and there is nothing that can make you doubt it. There is nothing that can take that away from you. Now, salvation's another story, right? Nobody's going to take my salvation. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know Jesus died for me. I know He took me out of the hot mess I was, and He made me something new, something better. But if you don't understand sanctification, it puts a limit on the salvation. Because we're not called just to salvation. We are called into the power and into the authority of Jesus Christ to fight the spiritual battle that is raging in the high places and in the atmosphere. And if we don't know who we are and what has been done to us through Christ Jesus, we're powerless to fight it. How many are tired of the enemy winning? I am so tired of feeling defeat. I am tired of seeing Christians, pastors, ministers fall and ministries destroyed because of a weak moment in the flesh. I am tired. I do not want the enemy to win. He is not going to win over me. I am not going to make it to heaven on my hands and knees. I am going to make it to heaven leaping and shouting and praising and fighting the enemy all the way. Because I know I have been sanctified, made holy for a higher purpose, and that's His purpose, praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1:2. Woo! Hallelujah. Wow. 1 Peter 1:2 says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." Oh, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. God knew what he was going to do for you. He knew that you were going to be sanctified through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and that you were going to be made holy and blameless before you. He knew what sending Christ to this earth was going to do. Now we have to grasp it. We have to understand what sanctified means. It means the enemy doesn't keep us down. It means what was no longer is, praise the Lord. It means, as he said, "I am a new creation, holy and sanctified unto Jesus Christ for his purposes and for his will, and the enemy can no longer keep me down. I am the head and I am not the tail." Praise the Lord. Woo! Glory to your name. Oh, Holy Spirit sanctifies the believers. Oh, and he sets us apart to live holy lives. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, he leads us to put to death the sinful deeds of the flesh, and he changes us into the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit will lead you where you are to go. He will lead you right out of sin, praise the Lord. And he will remind you you are sanctified, but you got to get it down inside. This was a purpose of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. And we need to get it down deep inside so that we're not overwhelmed with the burdens of this world, so we're not overcome with fear and with grief, so we're not overcome when the enemy comes at us. We remember who we are. We are the children of God. We are sanctified. We are called to be holy before Jesus. We are made holy through Jesus Christ, hallelujah. That's not to say I'm not a sinner or I've never sinned, but I am so much more than just that. I am so much more. I am not my sin. I am a chosen daughter of God. I am sanctified and I am raised up with him and in him. I am a daughter of authority and power. Called, hallelujah, called to walk as Jesus walked. Called to lead people out of the wilderness and out of the desert. Called to bring hope to the broken and to the lost. Called to bring salvation. I am expecting at our outreach, I'm expecting salvations to come in. I am expecting people to give their hearts to Jesus. I am expecting people to hear the word, to feel his Spirit drawing them, and them to receive Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name. John 6:63. Whoo, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. John 6:63. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Hallelujah. John was speaking the word of God to the people. And wherever we speak the word of God, there is life. There is life. That's one of the reasons it's so important that we are in the Word, because just reading the Word generates life. It brings life into us. It shines the light of Jesus into the dark places, into the hidden places of our hearts, and brings His light and brings His life. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. His Word is so important. And if you don't believe that you're sanctified, or you don't feel sanctified, or you can't believe there's a possibility, get the verses, get all the verses on sanctification, on what Jesus did, and begin going over them. Begin reading them. Read them over yourself. You can just begin declaring it. I am sanctified. I am called, I am separated, I am made holy unto Jesus Christ for a higher purpose, hallelujah. And that purpose is in Jesus Christ. That purpose is seeing souls saved. That purpose is seeing those who are in bondage set free, praise the Lord. We aren't called to just be a church. We're not called to just sit in a body. Not that those aren't good things, they are. Not that we shouldn't congregate and be a part of a body. I believe we absolutely should. But we're called to more than just that. We're here. I can take a vote and probably everybody in this room is saved. Out there's another story. We got to take what we've learned in here. We got to take the building up we get here, the feeding and the filling and the infilling, and we got to take it out there. We got to take it out there where the lost and the broken is, where the people who have been downtrodden are, and we need to take it to them, and we need to encourage them, and we need to speak life over them, and we need to speak the word over them because the word gives life. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name. We can talk and just, I can talk and talk and talk to you. I can talk and talk and talk at you. But if it's not the word, if it's not what Jesus said, if it's not the word of God, if it's not Holy Spirit anointed, no matter what I say, it's not going to reach inside. It's not going to penetrate your hearts. It's not going to make any difference. I have known people that have gone to church for years and years and years, and yet they didn't even know the word of God. You can go and sit and not hear a word. You know, I love this testimony. This is a really great example because years ago when God healed me of a disease that I had, or a disorder, I don't know what to call it. It was called polycystic ovarian disease or disorder, I don't know which. And the Lord had told me, he healed me, and it was time to come off my medications. And I said, Lord, you know how this is going to go. If I go to my husband, or if I stop taking my medications, he's going to notice I'm not asking to reorder medication, and it's going to be a problem. And I said, so what you need to do, Lord, is you need to work this through him. If he's cool with me quitting my medications, then I'm going to quit those medications, but you got to work this situation out because I believe I'm healed. And so he was in Mexico, and I was in Washington. So I went home, back to Mexico, and my husband was sitting working at his computer doing something. And I said, hey, babe, I need to talk to you for a minute. Do you mind? And he goes, no, go ahead. I can listen while I work. Oh, okay, sure, no problem. I said, yeah, while I was in Washington, God healed me. And he said to put it to the test, to come home, and I was to stop taking my medications, and that I would see that I am healed. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. You know, if God said it, then you absolutely have to do it. You know, just trust the Lord and do what God said. And I said, that's kind of how I felt, but I wanted to make sure you were on board with this with me. Oh, absolutely, 100% on board. You obey God above all things. Woo, woo, moment cleared. 3 months down the road, he comes to me and says, hey, wait a minute. Why aren't you taking your medications? Why aren't you ordering your medications? We can hear and absolutely not hear a thing that's said. Right, we can come, and no matter how great of a preacher Bruce is, and he's a fabulous preacher, we cannot hear a word. He said, we can leave, and that word is all gone. We don't even remember a single thing that was said. Right? And so I went to him. I said, babe, remember this date? Remember you were doing this on the computer, and we had that little talk? Oh, yeah. And remember I told you what God told me? Oh, yeah. Okay, it's cool. I just thought, wow, you haven't ordered medications in so long. And he looked at me and goes, so are you healed? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. No evidence that I was ever sick. It has been 3 months and everything is as it should be. God is good. But we have to hear the word. We have to receive the word. And then we have to believe the word. Sanctified. You have to hear it. You have to see it. You have to believe it. For it to become power inside of you. And you have to believe the word. You have to see it. You have to feel it. Remember Donnie said she's very tactile and she's got to see it and she's got to touch it. She's got to experience it. Hallelujah. We've got to do that with the word. We got to see it. We got to touch it. We got to experience it. We have to believe it and we have to apply it. Jesus speaks to us through his word. His word is anointed with his spirit and with his presence, and it gives life to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more we know his word, the more we know him, the more we understand him, the more we love him, and the more that word becomes power to work and to change and to work in us. Remember, we are transformed from glory to glory. It's not an overnight thing. It's a process. And every day by day, we get better. We get stronger. We become more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's a really perfect example of sanctification in the Bible, and I love the story of Paul. Paul was a righteous man in his own mind. He was a Pharisee, born of a line of Pharisees. He was educated in the Word, and he knew the Word, and he was a persecutor of the followers of Jesus Christ. He was looking for their deaths. He was there when Stephen was stoned, and he rejoiced. Hallelujah. When we think of Paul, we want to remember the mighty man of God he was. Wow, the wisdom that God gave him. But we need to remember where he came from. He didn't start his walk like that. He thought he was a righteous, justified man. He thought it was the right thing to do to persecute the followers of Christ, to round them up and handcuff them and drag them back to the chief priests. He thought that was work. That was God's work, because they were blasphemers. They were against the Word. He had no idea Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the Word. Hallelujah. Not really a man you'd want to be, but he thought he was all that. In Acts chapter 9, it says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters for him to the different synagogues of Damascus, so that he, if he found any who were in the way, the disciples of Christ, whether men, women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Wow. One of our favorite Bible people, Paul, mighty, powerful disciple of Christ Jesus, didn't start out that way. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he felt justified in persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ. He was convinced it was the right thing to do. He was convinced it was the good thing to do. And in Acts verse, jump on down to where it says, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' And then the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' Nobody that was with him could hear or could see what was going on. This was all Paul's own vision. But he did. He got up, and they took him blind as a bat into the city. And the Lord spoke to a man, Ananias, and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And so the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered the Lord," I'm going to paraphrase here, "Lord, are you crazy? Have you heard what this man's doing to your church? Are you crazy? Do you know what he'll do to me? I'm a follower. Lord, are you sure you're not making some kind of a mistake here? This is pretty dangerous territory." And the Lord answered him and said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Ananias went his way and entered his house. Laying hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, sent me to you that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Paul started out something very different from what he became. He became sanctified through an encounter with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He became sanctified, set apart and separated, made holy for a higher purpose. Didn't matter how we started out, praise the Lord. This excites me so much. Doesn't matter how you came to Jesus. What matters is you came to Jesus, and now you have been sanctified through the Holy Spirit, called, separated, set apart for a work, a higher calling. Hallelujah. No matter how inadequate we feel, or how often we feel like we're the tail and not the head, the truth is you are the head and not the tail, but you have to believe it. You have to live it. Hallelujah. Paul went from being the tail end to being the head. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 8, verse 13 and 14 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Paul was on a one-way road to death. He thought he was that. He thought his life was good, but it wasn't before the eyes of Jesus. No matter how good we try to be as people, as man, as human, we're never that good. Our intentions are never that great. We can't make it to heaven on good deeds or thinking we're good. We have to have an experience with the Holy Spirit and be sanctified to make it to heaven. We have to come to Jesus to make it to heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. And once we come to Jesus, He doesn't just leave us. We're not orphans, the Word tells us. He sanctifies us. He calls us out of where we were. He separates us unto Himself for a higher calling and a purpose. And He fills us with His presence and His anointing to do a work. And if He can do it in Paul, He can do it in you and I. Hallelujah. I love this story of Paul. I want to get to point number two. The Holy Spirit empowers believers. Hallelujah. Paul went from doing what he was doing to being sanctified and holy and empowered through the Holy Spirit. Paul became a mighty witness for Jesus. He became a mighty voice for Jesus. He became wisdom, and he spoke, and people heard the word and were saved. God did so many miracles through Paul. It's amazing where Paul went to for Jesus Christ. A man who was the tail, who became the head. Oh, praise the Lord. A man who became filled with the power of God. And when it says the Holy Spirit empowers you, it means it gives you strength and authority to live for Jesus Christ, to go beyond our fleshly abilities, to go beyond ourselves. You know, I can't deny my flesh without the strength of the Holy Spirit. This wicked, wicked mouth of mine, no hope for it without the Holy Spirit. I battle it with the Holy Spirit. But I know, even when I fall, even when I am not at my best, I know I am sanctified for something better. I know that I have been empowered and strengthened, given strength and authority by the Holy Spirit living in me, so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing I cannot face because of what Jesus has done for me. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Paul first trusted in his strength as a Pharisee, in his Torah teaching and knowledge. But when Holy Spirit came in and sanctified this man, he became something totally different. Oh, hallelujah. The power he received from the Holy Spirit changed everything about him. He was no longer the same man as who he was. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, one of the reasons I think that verse was so powerful for Paul was because that was his life. He knew wisdom of men. He knew the word of the Torah. He knew what God had spoken and what had been written in his name. Praise the Lord. But when Holy Spirit came in, woo, he knew so much more. He had a presence of God with him. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And just words suddenly became something so much more than just words. And they brought life to the people he ministered to. They brought life to everyone he witnessed to. Praise the Lord. And our words too should bring life. Wherever we go, life should be springing up. Wherever we go, whoever we speak to, seeds of life should be being sowed in the authority of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name. It says in Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 14 and 16, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Lila, would you come? "For whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might and power through his Spirit in the inner man." Holy Jesus. You have been sanctified. Ooh, and you have been empowered. What God is calling you to do. You are not doing it in your own strength. You are not doing it in your own will. You are not using persuasive words of man. But you are called to do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit, sanctified through the blood of Jesus for a higher purpose and a calling. And that sanctification is in operation over you, whether you believe it or not. It's there. It's there. No matter where God is calling to, what God is calling you to do. Our girl that's going to China, I know God is going to be with her there because he is calling her and he is sending her there for a higher purpose. Hallelujah. If we, the body of Christ, grab a hold of what Jesus Christ has done and the Holy Spirit that lives in us, if we grab a hold of what all that means to us, we will rock this town. We will rock this city. We will rock this country. We will rock this state. We will see things we've never seen before, and we will see an outpouring of the Spirit of God. But we have to get it deep down inside. We have to get it. We have to understand what Holy Spirit has done for us, what he is doing in us because of what Jesus Christ did. Oh, hallelujah. We have to get a hold of it. We have to get a hold of it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Hallelujah. God has called us to be a man separated out from other men. He sanctified you to take you out of the world and to pull you unto himself for his purposes in your life. Wherever you're at in your life in this moment, it doesn't matter what's facing you, what's in front of you, what's fighting against you, what struggle you are in. It does not change that you have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. You have been called and you have been separated to his purposes for his glory. And you have been empowered with authority and strength to do the job he's called you to do. Hallelujah. You are the head, and you are not the tail. You are called to lead and not to be drug around. You are called, hallelujah, to be above and not below, praise the Lord. You are called in. It is your inheritance to walk in the blessings of God, to live under his favor. It is your right and your inheritance through relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't let the enemy take that from you. Don't let the enemy take that from you. Oh, hallelujah. Stand with me to your feet today. Hallelujah. We're going to say a prayer in closing before we begin to pray and minister to people. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus, Lord, through your blood, hallelujah, we've been sanctified unto you. Separated out and made holy for your purposes, for your plan, oh God. Oh, precious Jesus, and you have empowered us. You have strengthened us with your strength and your authority to do your will. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just come to you this morning and we just ask you to work it in us, oh God. Work your will in our lives. Help us, Jesus, to grab a hold of this, oh God, and never let it go. Let us not be beaten down by the enemy, but let us remind the enemy that we are sanctified and we live in authority and in the strength of Jesus Christ. And he has no power and authority over our lives. Oh, Father, let every enemy, oh God, let them fall before your presence, Jesus. Let every chain be broken, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we praise your holy name. If you don't know Jesus and you're watching today, it's a simple thing. Oh, all you have to do is just cry out to him, Lord Jesus, I see you, my Savior. The Son of God who died and was rose again. I accept you. Come in and fill my life with your presence and with your power. Wash me free of all my sins and have rule in my life. Oh, and he is faithful to hear that call. He is faithful to hear that call. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Be blessed. Walk in the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are we good? Oh, hallelujah. I'm really bad at this part, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm working on it. Praise the Lord. In Mexico, we just rush right into that altar call. Hallelujah.